I'm Tom Hall. Welcome to Midday. Today, it's a pre-Thanksgiving edition of What You Got Cookin'. Longtime restaurateur Sasha Wollhandler and acclaimed chef, author, and television cookster John Shields of Gertrude's Restaurant join me to take your questions and comments and hear about your favorite Thanksgiving culinary traditions. If you're preparing your first Thanksgiving feast, or if you're a seasoned Turkey Day veteran, let us know what's on your mind as you get ready to welcome family and friends. Got a favorite trick you'd like to share to make the bird moist and tender? A funky side dish that only your family seems to serve every year? A particular flourish that you add to your table before everybody sits down to enjoy the bird and all the fixings? Well, we hope you'll share your tips and Thanksgiving memories. It's the midday before Turkey Day, right after the news. And good afternoon. Welcome to Midday. Help is on the way. It's What You Got Cooking, the Thanksgiving edition, a beloved tradition here on Midday since, oh gosh, all the way back to 2016, I believe. I can hardly remember that far back. Midday's resident foodies John Shields and Sasha Wollhandler are here with suggestions and tips and words of comfort if you're in charge of the meal tomorrow. I'm Tom Hall. Very glad you're with us. Maybe you haven't quite gotten your act together yet, and you're at the brink of despair and panic. It seems that that's where I live, actually. I live at the corner of despair and panic in a mansion. Or conversely, you know, maybe you're completely on top of everything, at which point you risk making a mistake born of overconfidence. You know, that happens. You know, we think we got it all together, and then you realize, you know, 10 minutes of two, oops, forgot to buy bread. So we are here to talk you through any and all of it, and we'll do what we can to help make sure that everything goes smoothly and tastes terrific at your house or wherever you will be tomorrow. But most importantly, we are looking forward to hearing about your family's special Thanksgiving traditions, your favorite recipes, your favorite memories, your favorite part of what for many folks is their favorite holiday of the year. John Shields is a chef, an author, and the proprietor, along with John Gilligan, of Gertrude's Restaurant at the Baltimore Museum of Art. Hey, John, happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, Tom.
And Sasha Wollhandler is a longtime restaurateur here in Baltimore. Hey, Sasha, how you doing?
Great, Tom. How are you?
Doing great, thanks. So you are welcome to join the festivities here, 410-662-8780. That's our phone number. Our email, midday@wipr.org. If you want to send us a tweet, @MiddayTomHall. And we are also broadcasting, courtesy of our good buddy Jamila Krimple, on Facebook Live. So come to the WIPR Facebook page and you will see the stream of what's happening here in Studio A, including a beautiful platter, a Thanksgiving mélange brought to us by Sasha Wollhandler, which has some beautiful stuff. So for the folks streaming us now on Facebook Live, Sasha, explain what we have here on this beautiful plate.
Okay, well, it just was a little bit of tasting. I obviously didn't bring a whole turkey, but for those of you who are home alone tomorrow, I know that sounds sort of mournful, but for some of us that have too many people coming to our house, it sounds positively wonderful. Or if there's just two of you, or if you've forgotten to buy the turkey yet, there are certain things. I've cooked some turkey cutlets here, which are kind of like chicken tenders. And they cooked up, you can do this in about 45 minutes, the whole dinner. I mean, I took the turkey cutlets and didn't even pound them. I put them in flour, egg, and then some seasoned breadcrumbs. And then sauteed them for a little bit and shoved them in the oven for 10 minutes. They are delicious.
Yeah, they're good.
They are really good. You can serve them up, folks, with some cranberry sauce on the side. Makes it very Thanksgiving-ish. Then we have also here an acorn squash. I cut it in half. That's the most dangerous thing of all that day, the tomorrow. Watch how you use your knife and watch how you cut your squash.
Be careful.
Shoved it in the oven with salt and pepper and some butter on it. That was about a half an hour. The last 15 minutes, I put a little honey on it and a little balsamic, and you can leave it as thus, or I had some stuffing, and I stuffed the middle for a really fancy presentation. We also here have some baked potatoes. I had sweet potato that I baked it and cut it in half and put marshmallows on some and some pecans on the other, and then roasted cauliflower. All done really easily. We'll get into the particulars in a minute, but it's very simple. Yeah. One thing I have to say, if your bird's still in the freezer, run home right now and take it out. Fill the bathtub with ice water, pour yourself a glass of wine, and put that bird in the ice water to defrost.
Yeah.
Right, John?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
you can't start defrosting it this morning at 1 o'clock if you're going to go put it in the oven at 9 o'clock. But yeah, that's true. So, John, how about Thanksgiving at your house? What are your plans for this year?
Well, actually, I have kind of the year off. I'm going up to my sister's in Marriottsville, mm-hmm. and all I have to do is to make pumpkin pie and mincemeat pie. They're my two things, and I'm going to do that today, mm-hmm. right?
So
right,
you'll be all set.
Right after the show, so I have it pretty easy.
Yeah, good. So do you usually host? Do you usually do the turkey?
Yeah, we go back and forth, you know, switch off with that.
So this
I love it. It's one of the most fun meals, I think, to make the whole year.
Yeah.
I really get into it, and I love it.
I heard somebody on NPR yesterday talking about how stuffing – it's too bad that stuffing or dressing, depending on which. I guess, is it dressing if it's outside of the bird and stuffing if it's in the bird? Is that the proper terminology?
Yes. Stuffing when it's in the bird, dressing when it's outside of the bird.
But that dressing is relegated only to Thanksgiving, maybe Christmas, you know. But stuffing and dressing or dressing should be, you know, a year-round kind of thing. And she had some interesting ideas for how to make, you know, standalone dressing. I mean, it is funny how we don't eat it on other days of the year.
Well, we get caught into our traditions, I think. But to the point of stuffing, and I heard that too. I think it was the woman that does the Smitten Kitchen blogs and books, and she's always got some great ideas. And someone else I heard had said, we have so many various people coming with all their various problems. This one's gluten-free. This one's doesn't eat this or doesn't eat that, or we have vegetarians. With both this, with stuffing, it's interesting to have out a bunch of toppings that people can top themselves. Like make your plain bread stuffing with your tons of sautéed onions and your garlic and your celery and then your bread cubes and all your seasonings that you put into it. Bake it off with a lot of good stock and some butter. Let's not forget the butter. And then have out like maybe bacon bits and sausage and sautéed apples and nuts for the person that can't have nuts in the stuffing. And people can kind of top their own.
Yeah, you could put it on yourself. That's a good idea. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
And with pies and desserts and stuff, it's okay to make them the day before. I mean, it's not. You don't have to take it out of the oven and then go to your sister's.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially the pumpkin pie kind of like will shift a little bit if you try to do that. So, but you know, I still have this problem with it. Okay, I hate making it the day before. So I talked to myself this morning, as I often will, and I'm.
And why is that? Just because you're a chef and a purist?
Yeah, I guess it is. And so I decided I'm going to make all the filling today. I have the pastry all ready, and then tomorrow morning, all I have to do is put them together and then put them in early.
Oh, so you'll bake them tomorrow
morning. I'll bake them tomorrow.
But the work will be done.
I'm going to do all the prep today.
And that's, that's still a pretty fresh pie, John.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a fresh pie.
Yeah, it has to be.
That's right out of the oven.
It has to come right out of the oven. Otherwise, I don't feel good about it.
So, Sasha, at your house, how many are you going to have? Are you cooking tomorrow?
I am cooking. For the first, usually we're not here. We go to my brother's, but this year we're staying here. And yeah, I'm cooking. I need all the tips I can get.
Big crowd? You got a big crowd?
Only about 10.
Yeah, well, only about 10. But you know, for a lot of folks, 10 is a lot. We'd love to hear from you if you're cooking for the first time or for the 50th time. 410-662-8780. Our email, midday@wypr.org. Our Twitter handle, @midday_TomHall. A few years ago, Linnell and I started, and Miranda, our daughter, started going to dear friend Chicky Grayson's for Thanksgiving. I used to cook, but then this time of year has traditionally been a really busy time for me because of music jobs. I no longer have music jobs. I was actually scheduled to be conducting in New Mexico last weekend, and that got canceled. Their orchestra is having some financial difficulty, evidently. But so for the first time in like literally 40 years, I'm not working Thanksgiving weekend. I usually have rehearsals and stuff, and I'm not doing that. And so I actually would have had time to cook. But we have such a good time at Chicky Grayson's house. I mean, she's a great dear friend, and she has a huge crowd. She has 30-some people, two turkeys. She's got two ovens, thank God, and the Susans. She has three friends, Susan Bartolini, Susan Levitin, and Susie Kolker, and they all
come. So it's Chickie and the Susans. It sounds like a rock band. And they
that
they
is a rock band.
They descend upon her kitchen, you know, probably yesterday, and they just start getting stuff together. And then, you know, several of us bring stuff with us. I have to roast some vegetables, which I can do in the morning. But it's such a fun time because it's, you know, and what's great about this kind of Thanksgiving, and I know this is the case for so many people tuning in, that, you know, there are kids there who are 2 years old and there are people there who are 82 years old and everything in between. And so it's just, a lot of people do think this is their favorite holiday because it's somehow not laden with, you know, other stuff, Christmas or Easter or Passover. I mean, it can get to be, you know, imbued with all this other stuff. But Thanksgiving has sort of somehow maintained its purity.
It has. There's not quite the same expectations, you know, on you, and you don't have quite all that worry of everything. And it's just you get together and you eat.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great holiday.
Yeah. All you do is eat. So where'd you get your turkey, Sasha? I mean, where
I got my turkey at Whole Foods.
The farmer's market? The Whole Foods?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Because they have fresh ones. You got to order
them. They have fresh ones. They have organic ones. And, of course, you can get them, you know, from the farmer's market. I just hadn't put in my order in time. Last minute Lily am I. But it's a fresh bird. And just going to butter it up. Put mayonnaise on the skin like my mother has done all these years. Put some fresh thyme. Put onions in the cavity. Put a bunch of herbs in the cavity. I don't have a roasting holder, so I just have always put it on a bunch of herbs. I know that makes the skin underneath it get a little wet and it doesn't allow the circulation. But I've heard you can also make little tinfoil rack to put it in so it raises it up. And then I always put white wine and some broth. People buy your chicken broth today to just have on hand if you haven't made turkey broth, and some herbs and an onion and an orange and some celery and carrot and let it ride.
Yeah.
Let it roll.
You know, another thing you can do with that, if you don't have a rack, take a potato and cut it up into rounds, put them down all around the pan, and sit the turkey on top of the potato rounds.
Well,
and you can eat the potato later.
Hey, the potato, you can eat them.
It's awesome. While you're carving.
Yeah. It raises the turkey up just a little bit. Yeah.
I never know why you needed the rack. I always think it's great to, you know, put the herbs or an onion or, as you just said, a potato. It raises it up and it still gets this great flavor all the way around it. It's wonderful.
We got a call from Megan here in Baltimore. Welcome to Midday with John Shields and Sasha Wohlhandler.
Hi.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. I was just calling because we always do, well, we call it Friendsgiving. So we have friends who don't have family in the area over.
Great idea.
And we don't have like a big oven or an extra oven or anything like that. So we always spatchcock our turkey so that it cooks in about 4 to 5 hours. So I was just calling, I guess, to share that if anybody has a lot of things they have to get in the oven and kind of get that turkey out of the oven faster. And it's always really good.
Oh, cool, Megan. So I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with that term. What did you call it?
Spatchcocked.
It's called spatchcocking.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. We talked about that.
So what does spatchcocking involve?
So essentially you cut the turkey. My husband usually does it, so I don't know if I'm going to get all the technicalities right, but you're essentially cutting it into pieces. I think you flip it over, you cut out the spine, and then you cut it into two bigger pieces. So the white meat and the dark meat are essentially two separate pieces, so that, like, if the dark meat cooks faster, you can actually take it out sooner. But you can still put it on a plate in a really nice presentation, and it looks like a whole turkey, especially if you stuff some stuffing under there or you have vegetables and things like that. So the presentation is always still good, and it just cooks faster, and you can be a little bit more conscious of cooking the white meat and the dark meat at the temperatures that they need to be at or at the length that they need to be at.
Yeah, and that's cool. And then you reconstruct the turkey on the platter. That's kind of fun.
Yep.
And then that frees up the oven for the other stuff you need to put in, like, you know, John's pies that he hasn't put in the oven yet when he shows up. Yeah. That's interesting. Have you ever done that?
Well, we talked when we were talking chickens, I think, one time. We talked about spatchcocking. What you, as Megan aptly said, you cut out the backbone, and you're really butterflying the turkey. And it does cook. You said 4 to 5 hours, Megan. I'm not so sure that it would take that long. I think it's more like 45 to 50 minutes sometimes, or an hour, very fast, because you've butterflied the whole turkey. And it's a great way. I personally have not done it, but it is a great way to cook that. And a great idea, Megan. Yeah, I was going to bring – I've got it right down here on my notes to talk about spatchcocking.
Yeah,
my sister did it last time she made the dinner. And she wanted to try it. She had heard about it. Worked out beautifully because you can cook.
I mean, do you lose anything if the turkey doesn't cook in its own juices as a
you don't lose anything. Only if you're stuffing the turkey with stuffing.
Right.
I mean, because obviously you can't stuff this with it. It cooks beautifully, and all the meat is cooked at the right temperatures because they cook at different times.
You can get it right. Well, thanks, Megan. And, of course, this idea of Friendsgiving is a great – you're the second person today, Megan, who's told me about a wonderful Friendsgiving feast that they have. So we're going to take a little break. We will be back. John Shields is a chef and the author of several cookbooks. He's also the host of Coastal Cooking and Chesapeake Bay Cooking on Maryland Public Television and PBS. He and his husband, John Gilligan, are the proprietors of Gertrude's Restaurant at the Baltimore Museum of Art. Sasha Wollhandler has been a mainstay of the culinary scene in Baltimore for more than 40 years, and she's also doing the Street Snaps section of Snap, a wonderful website that our good buddy Sloan Brown runs. It's got all stuff about all the parties that are going around town, the fundraisers for good causes. So you can catch Street Snaps on Snap, the website. By the way, speaking of Gertrude's, it's one of the many sponsors of the Y of Central Maryland's annual Turkey Trot 5K race. So Linnell and I are proud to be part of Gertie's Gobblers. That's a team that John Shields and John Gilligan have put together to run in one of the races tomorrow. So we're running the one that launches from Druid Hill Park in Baltimore. But there are also races in Bel Air, Perry Hall, Ellicott City, Towson, Westminster, and the Eastern Shore. So proceeds from all of these race registrations go to help the Y of Central Maryland. We invite you to join us. It's a good way to work up a sweat before you dig into your Thanksgiving meal. We've got a link to the various race locations at wypr.org/midday. You can register today or even tomorrow at the race site that you choose. It's What You Got Cooking on Midday, and we're, of course, talking turkey. We'll have more with our favorite foodies after a quick break and with your phone calls, comments, emails, and tweets. 410-662-8780. Our email, midday@wypr.org. To find us on Twitter, @midday. Tom Hall. Stay with us.
I want to thank you for being so nice, man. I want to thank you for giving me my pride. Sweet kisses to you and everything you do. I know I'll never find another one like you. If I do, my love, it won't.
This is your public radio, 88.1 WYPR.
And welcome back. It's What You Got Cooking, our pre-Turkey Day midday edition of What You Got Cooking. And before we return to that and continue talking turkey here, we want to give a shout out to two Marylanders who have been awarded Rhodes Scholarships. Naomi Imburu of Ellicott City is a student at UMBC, and Nathan Bermel, he hails from Brookline, Massachusetts, but he is a student at the U.S. Naval Academy. They will join 30 other Rhodes Scholars in postgraduate work at the University of Oxford. So good for them, and happy Thanksgiving to them. We also want to give a shout out to Davon Fleming. He is a contestant in The Voice, and on Monday night when he was in the top 12 round, he dedicated his performance of Love on Top. That's a Beyonce hit. He dedicated that to his hometown of Baltimore, and as I understand it, he made it to the top 11 last night. So check out The Voice and Parkite's own Davon Fleming. So congratulations to him for surviving in the competition so far. By the way, this programming note, tomorrow at this time, more on Thanksgiving feasts. NPR will air Turkey Confidential. Lynn Rosetta Casper and Francis Lamb will take calls from across the country and try to solve any last-minute dilemmas that folks may face. So If your oven catches on fire tomorrow at noon, call Lynn. Don't call me. And you are welcome, however, to call me today. If you're just joining us, our resident foodies, John Shields and Sasha Wollhandler, are here to help you avoid any and all Thanksgiving disasters before tomorrow. Sasha Wollhandler and her husband, Steve Susser, ran Sasha's 527 restaurant and catering for many years. John Shields is an author and television personality who presides over Gertrude's restaurant at the BMA here in Baltimore. Our phone number, 410-662-8780. Our email, midday@wipr.org, and to find us in the Twitter sphere @MiddayTomHall. So, John, you have a recipe that you published along with several other really delicious ideas in Bay Weekly magazine for oyster dressing. Of course,
yeah.
You're an oyster aficionado. You're the king of oysters. So tell us, everybody has their own approach to dressing. How do you do oyster dressing?
Well, it's really pretty simple. You're using the day-old bread or the stale bread, the cubes, however you like it. You're sautéing it. You could do it in butter, as Sasha said, or you could use a little bit of bacon grease, give it a different dimension, some celery, some onions, all those kinds of things. But the important part, obviously, is the oysters. So you want to take part of the oysters and chop them up, and then mix that in with the breadcrumbs. And then some of the others you want to leave in a little bit bigger pieces to have the little those surprise bites as you're going through it. And then the real secret ingredient is the oyster liquor. All that juice that the oysters sit in, it's like this super charged, condensed fish stock. So you just
nectar of the gods.
It's the nectar of the gods. And you drizzle it all over the stuffing, toss it all together, and you can't really go wrong with that. Now, around this area, people are always having problems. Should we go with the regular bread stuffing or should we use cornbread stuffing? So I'm just saying, you could use your leftover cornbread, crumble it up and do the same thing with the oyster. So an oyster cornbread stuffing is awesome as well.
With those bacon bits in
there.
Yeah,
with the bacon in there.
Is that a Maryland tradition? I mean, I've read about it forever. I actually have never tasted it. Or is it a Southern? I know it comes from the South. Or did you?
It's a Chesapeake tradition. I'm sure it's used other places, but around this area, and especially on the Eastern Shore and the lower Chesapeake regions, it was always a staple.
Oysters in it, does that? Do they require fast cooking, or if they stay in the oven, do they get tough? Or
they don't get tough because you have them in all that breadcrumb, and you're usually taking some milk and moistening the whole thing. Mm. So it's good eating.
I bet that is fantastic.
Good eating indeed. 410-662-8780. That's our number here at Midday. Our email, midday@wipr.org. If you have one of those Twitter machines, @MiddayTomHall. And we are streaming live on Facebook. Come to the WIPR Facebook page. And thanks to Jermila Krempel, you can see what's cooking down here in Studio A. Speaking of this, Alex sends in an email, says, my mother-in-law makes the most amazing turkey. All right, so Alex is picking up some brownie points with the mother-in-law. That's a good thing. She puts an apple inside it for moisture and then wraps the outside of the turkey in bacon. So wraps the entire turkey in bacon, evidently. Her stuffing is also amazing since she includes bacon and sausage. So this is not quite kosher, but it's delicious, right? So thank you, Alex, for that thing. So, you can throw all sorts of stuff in stuffing and dressing. I mean, there's almost very few things you can't throw in there.
Exactly.
On a certain level.
And it's so delicious. We come back to your original question, Tom. Why do we only eat it this time of year? But we do. There are times we use stuffing. We stuff pork chops. We stuff guinea game hens. We stuff a lot of things. I mean, we do. But our minds kind of go to it at this time of the year. Certainly at winter. I mean, we've stuffed wonderful little
Cornish game hens. My grandmother, Nanny Shields, every Sunday, you went to Nanny Shields for dinner. It was always a chicken with stuffing all year. Sometimes the stuffing would change, but you always had stuffing, some kind of dressing or stuffing.
Yeah, I like my stuffing recipe, actually, which I got out of Eating Well magazine like 420 years ago. And it's terrific. It's got cranberries, apples, and sage. And you know, the usual suspects, you know, onions and celery, and I've done gluten free bread if we had gluten free folks and stuff, and it's just I love the cranberries inside the stuffing, and then of course you have cranberry sauce outside. Nate in Baltimore, you are calling with a different way of doing the turkey. Welcome to Midday and Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, Tom, Sasha, and I did something different to share for.
So Nate, you're cracking up on us, and you might be on speakerphone. So talk into the device, see if that works a little bit better, because we're having trouble hearing.
Yeah, I am in not a great area. Is this any better?
That's much better. Okay.
Okay, great. So what I did was I got those roasting bags, and I got two small turkeys, and I roasted them upside down, and just let them come to room temperature after the roasting. And then all those juices went into the breast, and that really worked. I've heard of that before, but I never did it, and it really was great. But then the tip I have is the skin doesn't really get crispy when you roast it upside down in a bag. So the next day I took all the skin off, and I sliced the skin and made cracklings in some peanut oil. So everybody got really crispy skin on the side of the plate, and everybody loved that. So I was sharing that with you guys.
I'm loving that.
Turkey in a bag. All right. Well, thank you, Nate. That's terrific. Turkey in those roasting bags.
The skin cracklings sound great.
Yeah, they do, don't you?
They do.
Bunch of happy customers at Nate's house. Ruth in Baltimore, welcome to Midday with Sasha and John. So we got all sorts of folks calling from East Venus. So, Ruth, I'd love to have you try to call us again because we would love to hear from you, but the connection just isn't quite working. How about Dorothy in Mays Chapel? Dorothy, welcome to the program. Thanks for the call.
Thank you. I'm calling to tell you about a way to cook sauerkraut that's different from most others. You know, in Maryland, we always have sauerkraut with our turkey.
Right.
Well, first you brown about a half pound of bacon. And make those cracklings you're talking about.
Right.
At the same time, you saute the sauerkraut until it's virtually dry and a little tiny bit brown. And then you serve it with all those bacon cracklings wrapped up in it.
Oh. Yeah. So that gets rid of all the moisture and stuff.
Were you sauteing your sauerkraut in the bacon grease?
Not usually.
No.
Usually it's dry. You know, drain it. Get rid of a little juice. So it's dry, and you just put it in the frying pan and just keep turning it.
Interesting. So sometimes, John, people, you know, are turned off by the sogginess of sauerkraut, right?
Yeah,
so this way, it sort of alleviates that problem.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for that tip, Dorothy. Much appreciated. Vera in Baltimore, welcome to Midday with John Shields and Sasha Wohlhandler.
Hello. I'm trying to substitute acorn squash.
Right. For what? What would you serve instead?
I'm trying to substitute acorn squash for pumpkin because I couldn't find pumpkin. How long do I roast it for?
All right. So what do you think, Sasha?
I would say like usually in a half, if you cut them in half, and as I said earlier, Vera, just be careful when you cut them. Open it up, take out all the seeds, put a little butter in it, and put it in the oven, and salt and pepper. And you said you wanted to substitute it for pumpkin, so maybe some pumpkin spices, cloves, nutmeg, ginger, and if you want, cinnamon. And I would say in a half an hour, that whole acorn squash should be probably pretty tender. If not, it'll just need a few minutes, maybe 5 to 10 minutes more. But start checking it in a half an hour. It also depends on the size of your acorn squash.
I'm dicing the acorn
squash.
Oh,
dicing? Then that'll
go quicker.
Very quickly.
Yeah.
That'll be in 10 minutes.
At what heat?
I would say at 400.
Yeah. 400.
Yeah. 400 to 10 minutes if you dice them.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay. I would say that would work. And that would also work for a butternut squash if you're doing something
and
like that.
And also remember to, at around 8 minutes, swish it around on that baking sheet. Try to get it a nice flat and then swish it around and bake it another couple of minutes.
All right. Thanks for the call, Vera, and good luck. We have an email here, John, from Sally, who says, can corn pudding be assembled today and baked tomorrow.
It
kind
can.
Of the John Shields approach to pie making.
Yes, yes. You can do that. That definitely
so it
will
works.
Work. Yeah, you can then just reheat.
Yeah, just reheat it
day.
When you get there. Okay,
yeah, you're
terrific.
Fine.
Well, Sally, you're good to go. Happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for the email. So Ruth is back from Baltimore. And Ruth, we got our fingers crossed that your phone connection's a little bit better. Welcome back.
Okay.
How you doing?
Can you hear me this
yes,
time?
Yes, ma'am. Loud and clear. You're doing great.
Okay, so in my family for probably 40 years, we celebrate, thank goodness you're not a turkey day.
Love that.
So you have a crowd of vegetarians, is that it?
Yes, sometimes I have a big crowd, sometimes a small. And actually, it's because I'm the cook, and I'm vegetarian, and my little family is vegetarian. But the other people who come get to eat what I cook.
And what do you cook? What do you make?
Well, so I think Thanksgiving is as much about the sides as it is about the turkey.
Yeah.
So, of course, I have all the traditional side dishes that I grew up loving, and sometimes, you know, I put my own little twist on it, but stuffing, sweet potatoes, my daughter likes mashed potatoes, you know, Brussels sprouts. But then I always have played around for years with the main course, trying to figure out what's going to appeal to the most people. And I finally settled, I looked at my notes, and for the last three years, I've done the same main course, and I'm going to put in a plug for a certain brand of seitan called Ray's Seitan, RAY*S.
Uh-huh, seitan, right.
And so you either make your own seitan, which is very easy, which I've done for this, or you buy a couple packages of Ray's, and you marinate it in tamari sauce and balsamic vinegar and olive oil for a couple hours. And then you give it a good hard sear, just like you would meat if you were making like a stew or something. And then you put it in the oven with all the chopped, you know, carrots and potatoes and celery, whatever you want to, you know, put in for vegetables, root vegetables, turnips, whatever. And the marinade, and you roast it, you know, like at 400 degrees for a half an hour or something, and the veggies get done, and the meat gets, I mean, the seitan gets nice and, you know, crispy on the edges and tender in the middle and everything that you want in a main course.
Well, thanks for that.
Sounds nice.
So, John, this is the second time this week that someone has mentioned to me seitan.
Yeah.
Which I've never heard of before this week. So
yeah.
Tell me about seitan.
Seitan is also known as vital wheat gluten. And it was a recipe originated thousands of years ago by the monks in Japan and in China because they didn't eat meat. And it has a texture very much like meat. It's really pretty amazing, and it takes on whatever kind of flavor that you would like. And you're making it with a high gluten flour, and you put some tomato paste in it and some water, and then you poach it. And it's really, really good, and it's so versatile.
Yeah.
It's a little pricey sometimes when you're buying a lot of it. But I've made it from scratch at the restaurant, and it's not that difficult to make, and it's absolutely delicious.
Yeah.
So that's a really good idea. Also, for people, you know, vegetarians, or if you're having vegetarians, there's a great product called a field roast, and you can get it at, you know, Mom's or Whole Foods or whatever, and that's absolutely a nice main. Well, if you're not doing a turkey.
Yeah, well, thank you, Ruth. That's good. I will confess, I made a tofu turkey one time because we had vegetarians coming over. This was like in 1994, and I stopped laughing about it yesterday. I mean, it just didn't work. I mean, it was everybody had a good time looking at it and trying it, but boy, oh boy, it was just, it was not pretty. Let's take one more call before we go to a break. David in Baltimore, welcome to the show. You've got a recipe for cranberries. Tell us about it.
Hi, hey, John. It's Father David Flaherty. How are you?
Hey, David. How are you?
So I've got a group of friends. that they're all Martha Stewart aficionados, but I am not. So I am always relegated to cranberry sauce. So I found this thing to do in between heavy, hot, like a soup or even the main meal. It's a granita. So you take your glass baking dish, fill it up with cranberry juice or even the cranberry stock that you just, you know, from your cranberry sauce. Add some lime juice, lemon juice, some Mountain Dew, and freeze it.
I love the Mountain Dew.
you snuck that one in there, Father David. Okay.
As a matter of fact, there's even a cranberry-flavored ginger ale out right now that works well. Scrape a fork over it every once in a while and serve it in little champagne glasses in between something, and people love it.
Oh, that's fantastic. That
sounds
great. I love
it. Sounds very elegant.
Sounds like a lot of fun. Well, thank you, Father David. We appreciate it. We're going to take a little break. Sasha Wohlhandler has been part of the Baltimore foodie scene for decades. You can catch her street snaps on the Snap website. John Shields is a chef and author. He's the host of Coastal Cooking and Chesapeake Bay Cooking on Maryland Public Television and PBS. He and his husband, John Gilligan, are the proprietors of Gertrude's Restaurant at the Baltimore Museum of Art. When we come back, more of your calls, emails, tweets, and you can find us on Facebook Live. We are streaming there as we speak. 410-662-8780. Our email, midday@wipr.org. To find us on Twitter, @MiddayTomHall. Glad you're listening. Stick around. And welcome back. I'm Tom Hall. If you're just joining us, we're talking about longstanding Thanksgiving traditions and last-minute ideas with our resident foodies, John Shields, the owner of Gertrude's Restaurant at the Baltimore Museum of Art, and longtime restaurateur and fashionista on Baltimore Snap, Sasha Wohlhandler. We are delighted to hear from you and have you share your Thanksgiving traditions, your favorite memories, your favorite recipes. 410-662-8780, our email midday@wipr.org, to find us on Twitter @MiddayTomHall. So John from Glen Arm, welcome to the show. You want to talk about one of my favorite subjects, gravy.
Yeah, thank you. And I want to talk about gravy and the most underappreciated root vegetable ever, which is celery root.
Oh, yeah. Ah.
Yeah, so what we love to do is when our turkey is about halfway done, we throw into the pan a bunch of traditional celery stalks, carrots, onions, and at least one celery root cut up into maybe like French fry-sized pieces, and let those roast in all those turkey drippings.
Wow, so it goes actually in the gravy stuff itself, the celery root?
All those vegetables, when the turkey's done, you take them out, drain them, and use a food processor or a chopper and basically puree them and add broth, and it's the best gravy you'll ever have. You don't need hardly any other seasonings.
Cool.
And it's fabulous. And while I'm on here on the subject of celery, I have to make a plug. If you've never had real farm-grown local celery and you've only bought what you buy in the grocery store, you don't know what you're missing, because there's no comparison. If you go to the farmers markets and find people that are growing celery, especially at Thanksgiving time, it's usually there. It's the most fabulous thing. It tastes so much better than what you buy that's grown on these factory farms.
That's a fall vegetable then, a fall
you'll get it around then, and it has a really amazing flavor when you get like the locally grown, and you can do so many things with it. We never think of, what are you going to do with celery? You put it on a relish tray, or you put it into a soup, but you can do so many things. You can braise it, just take it and sear it. You can wrap it in pancetta, sear it with chicken stock, make a delicious soup just out of the celery.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is underappreciated.
I just want to, this gentleman brought up the farmers markets, and I have to say, John and I were last Saturday there, and then I went again on Sunday. It's coming, you know, the Waverly will go all year, but it was so exciting at this time of the year. And go right through up, I think our farmer's market, the one under the 83, goes until just before Christmas.
Goes to the 19th of December, yeah.
I'm telling you, the root vegetables are fantastic. The herbs are great. I bought black garlic last week. That was fantastic. The rosemary, the thyme. I just came out. I had to take off my Chanel and just rub myself all over with all those great herbs. It was fantastic. I could have been roasted in the oven.
So Mac sends us a comment via Facebook. John, let me have you take this one. What are some good vegan recipes for tomorrow?
Well, you know, when you're thinking about Thanksgiving and vegan, it is essentially the vegan super holiday. All the sides, almost every single side is a vegan delight. You know, you can just substitute things in there. You can, you know, when you're making your mashed potatoes or whatever, I just use a little bit of almond milk or a little bit of soy milk. You could put a little olive oil or some vegan butter in there. Some great ideas for him. Just, you can go online, Forks Over Knives, which is one of my favorite websites, Forks Over Knives. It was a documentary. Has everything you need for Thanksgiving for a vegan. Or The Minimalist Baker. Look that up. She just put up some amazing things. Since my heart gave out on me a few years ago, I'm supposed to eat mostly, low-fat vegan. And so both of these websites are great resources.
All right, so Forks Over Knives. And the other one is
The Minimalist Baker.
The Minimalist Baker. All right,
yes.
Good ideas from John Shields.
To John's point also, be it vegan or be it whether you're eating everything, all your sides, folks, can be reduced to salt and pepper and fabulous olive oil and herbs. Your carrots, your beets, your sweet potatoes, your regular potatoes, cauliflower, the new it vegetable this year. It's enjoying a real exciting time. Throw them all in the oven. The key is to char them, get them on a flat sheet tray. Also, while that turkey is roasting, they can go on those lower racks and they only take anywhere from 20 minutes to 35 or 40 minutes. Toss them around midway so they get a little good juicing. But they are so delicious. It's a really easy way to do sides. Roast your potatoes, both sweet and white, and just have all the toppings for whomever wants to put butter or use the other things that you said, olive oil, salt, pepper, sour cream. Just have a tasting bar there.
All right. So Karen writes in on Facebook. She's going to be joining me and the Thundering Hordes at Chickie's house tomorrow for Thanksgiving. She says, I'm making pies and listening to the program. Make sure that, she says, Tom, make sure you have some of my pies tomorrow. Some of my pie. There's no piece of pie. No, some of my pie. So Karen's got big plans for me tomorrow, and I may not disappoint. Who knows?
Who could ever not have a piece of pie?
Jesse, you are calling in about coleslaw. That's an interesting Thanksgiving tradition. Welcome to the show. What do you guys do with coleslaw in your neck of the woods? Well, Jesse maybe isn't calling about coleslaw. We can't find Jesse. How about Julie calling from Canton? Happy Thanksgiving. Welcome to the show.
Happy Thanksgiving, and thank you. My family is steeped in tradition, but we've also introduced some new ideas. So creamed onions is something that's been in my family for, I don't know, probably 40, 60 years that we have every Thanksgiving. And then I make a warm autumn salad so we can cover a couple vegetables. I do it with butternut squash, apples chopped, red onion, and Brussels sprouts, and you roast that in olive oil. And then you crumble feta cheese over the top and some cardamom. And salt and pepper, and it is really awesome.
Oh, terrific! So when you call it a salad, you don't involve any lettuce of any sort, right?
No lettuce.
Yeah.
So it should be probably named a warm roasted almond salad.
Yeah.
But that was the recipe that my niece made, and I looked it up because it was so good. Now we make it every year.
Yeah. Well, creamed onions was a big part of my family's Thanksgiving growing up. My mom makes beautiful creamed onions, but that's a great boy. That sounds good.
That
sounds
great.
So you roast the vegetable and it's feta cheese on top. Ooh, yum. That sounds good. What time's dinner, Julie?
And
I'm there.
Is it ground cardamom you put on that, Julie?
Pardon?
The cardamom.
Cardamom, yeah.
Just the ground. Ground up.
Yep. Just buy it ground.
That's what time do you serve dinner at your house, Thanksgiving dinner, Sasha? Everyone calls it Thanksgiving dinner, but a lot of people eat it at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right. No, we're starting with cocktails at 4:30.
Mm-hmm. So dinner will be around 6?
Dinner will probably be around 5:30.
Yeah. If I were cooking the turkey, cocktails at 4:30 and with dinner at 9. Because yeah. I'm always so late. I mean, just, I always screwed that up. I never quite had it right.
Well,
how about you, John?
When
is your fan? Because it's amazing. People start eating Thanksgiving like literally at like 1 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And it goes until like dinner time.
Yeah. Now I think we're going to get up. My sister around 3 will probably eat around 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
4:30, something like that.
Middle of the day. Nice,
right.
Nice. So Jesse's back, I understand, from Lutherville. Welcome to the show. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. I'm originally from Wilmington, Delaware, and instead of sauerkraut, we do coleslaw. And my grandmother made the most amazing coleslaw. We would actually fight about it. It was kind of a funny joke in my family that somebody would hide the bowl so they could hoard it for themselves. And so she passed away this summer, and so I'm going to make it. However, I'm eating Thanksgiving dinner with my husband's family from here, and nobody really gets it or appreciates it. I just said, I'm bringing coleslaw, and they're like, what?
Yeah, interesting.
What's in your coleslaw?
Hellman's mayonnaise, vinegar, sugar, and cabbage, and a little bit of onion. That's about it.
Keep it simple.
Yeah. A lot of love.
Yep.
But that, and a lot of love. Well, good for you, and I'm sorry to hear about your grandmother, but what a wonderful way to remember her tomorrow when everybody else is looking at you like you're nuts because you brought coleslaw.
And I think that's really, you hit it, was it Julie or Jesse?
Jesse.
Mm-hmm. You hit the nail on the head. Is we bring these traditional recipes because they are remembrances of all the people that have made us. And that's what's so great about Thanksgiving is, maybe, you know, having those recipes, adding our own little twist, bringing it, as you said, Jessica, to your husband's, your new family, but bringing your part and bringing a little bit of your grandmother. Yeah. That's the great thing about Thanksgiving.
Melded families and melded recipes.
And it brings our ancestors to the table with us. So that's great.
We have time for one more quick call. Susan in Baltimore, welcome to Midday. Thanks for calling. Hi. Give us a quick comment on what you want to talk about. You want to talk about cranberry sauce, huh?
We have tried many, many recipes, but we've settled on, we make enough and freeze it all year. We make a cranberry sauce with spices and Zinfandel, where you take 1 3/4 cups of Zinfandel and 3/4 of a cup of regular sugar and light brown sugar and 6 cloves, 6 allspice, 2 cinnamon sticks, orange peel. You boil it, you reduce it, you take out the spices, you throw in a bag of cranberries. Fabulous.
Oh, boy, that sounds yummy.
Sounds good.
Sounds really. And you make it in copious quantities and eat it.
Absolutely. I adapted it from an Epicurus recipe, so
wonderful.
I have to give credit where credit is due. I cut back on the sugar.
Oh, that's great. Well, thank you, Susan. I appreciate that, and happy Thanksgiving. Well, John and Sasha, it's always good to see you guys. Have a wonderful time tomorrow with your families. And, John, I'm going to see you
at the
race.
I'll meet you in the morning.
I'll see you in the morning. We're going to run around Druid Hill Park before we put the pies in the oven, and et cetera. So it's always good to see you two both. Thank you so much, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks, happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving.
John Shields is a chef and author of several cookbooks. He's the host of Coastal Cooking and Chesapeake Bay Cooking on Maryland Public Television and PBS. He and John Gilligan run Gertrude's Restaurant at the BMA. Sasha Wollhandler has been part of the foodie scene here in Charm City for more than 40 years. She writes the Street Snaps column on Baltimore Snap, the website. We'll have some of the tips and recipes that we talked about today at our website, wypr.org/midday. Tomorrow, during the midday hour, it's Turkey Confidential with Lynn Rosetta Casper and Francis Lamb. They'll take calls and questions from around the country from noon to 2. And on Friday, a little more food at this time. We'll rebroadcast a recent edition of Smart Nutrition with our nutrition diva, Monica Reinagel. Then we're back live next week. We're going to talk sports on Monday and bioethics on Tuesday. We're going to check in with some of the new members of the Baltimore City Council. And then I'm going to sit down with former Democratic candidate for governor, Heather Mazier. So lots of good stuff going on next week, and we hope you can join us. So before we take our Thanksgiving break, a word about a few of the many things that I'm thankful for. I'm grateful to all of our colleagues here at WIPR, our colleagues Louisa Roca and her team for keeping things looking great throughout our building, and Ray Heppner and his trusted assistant Oberon, who keep an eye on all things technical. So I am very thankful as well for the terrific team that I'm honored to work with here at Midday, our producers Rob Sivak, Bridget Armstrong, and Kathleen Cahill, our director and engineer Luke Spicknall. Thanks also to Sienna Greaves, Katie Marquette, and Jamila Krempel, who contribute so much so often. All of us at Midday are very grateful to you. We really appreciate your tuning in to our program. We are grateful for the questions and your comments, your perspective, your clear and palpable concern for our city, for our state, for our country and our world. The Midday community of listeners is a community that all of us on our team cherish. The opportunity that we have every day to contribute in some small way to the ongoing conversation about our democracy and about the things that animate and illuminate our lives is a gift for us. We do our best to meet the challenge of this very precious responsibility, and we appreciate so much that you are such an important part of our efforts. I'm Tom Hall. Thank you. All of us at Midday and all of us at WYPR wish you and yours a very happy Thanksgiving.